Right. So
there's nothing like a cold tea. I'm getting there.
So let's see what happens if I put in my if I did it the other way around. I start with the vacuum, I add a particle in the third state, then I add a particle in the first state. Okay? So I have my vacuum, no particles, and I add a particle in the third state. Then that gives me that. Now I take that state and I add a particle in the first state. And then following the same convention as before, first I create the term which has in the front the particle I've added. And then I have to add whatever terms are necessary to keep the thing antisymmetric. And I put in the front the right normalization factor. Okay? Now, if you look at this state, and you look at that one, you can see that there is a difference. What is the difference? So remember, basically what I have here is C1 dagger, C3 dagger vacuum, right? And what I have here is C3 dagger, C1 dagger vacuum. By the way, it's very convenient that we read left to right, because really you should really take the vacuum, add a particle in the... So in that case, we take the vacuum and read right to left. Add a particle in the first state, add a particle in the third state. Here we take the vacuum, add a particle in the third state, add a particle in the first state. Right, so what's the difference between this and that? Here, this is really crucial. If you see this, then we've taken off and we can forget about keeping track of particles.
You have changed particles in the state and you get a minus sign.
Exactly. So if you look at this and at that, you can see I have +1, 3, -3, 1. While here I have +3, 1, -1, 3. So if I multiply this by -1, I get that. Okay? So that's great. So that means that that's minus the state that I got when I first created a particle in the single particle state number 1, and then I created it in number 3. Okay? And this does mean that when I use this kind of notation, where I just say which states are occupied, I need to have some convention for the sign, okay? So, so for example, in the way I wrote it there, it means that the convention is that the first term I put has the highest labeled state first, and then the lowest label, and then I build all the other terms by symmetry. So the first term with a positive sign, right? In that case, that would mean that that's 1, 3, and that one is -1, 3. Okay? Now, the point is, it doesn't matter what sign convention I chose. The fact is that I have one, and that every time I apply two creation operators on two states, alpha and beta, simply that's the same as minus doing the same, but in the opposite direction. Right? So it doesn't really matter which Slater determinant had the positive sign, because I'm not going to use Slater determinants. I don't need them anymore. Okay? And this is the first thing to know about creation operators, which is that they anti-commute. Okay? Now this has a very interesting property, which is that C alpha dagger, what's the value of this? So if I apply a creation operator twice on the same single particle state, how much, what do I get? What's the effect of this on a state? Right, zero. Because if I swap them, I have to get the opposite. So the only way is if it's zero. Right, but this is very nice, because notice what this means. This Pauli's exclusion principle. If I have a particle in a state, and I add an identical particle, which is a fermion, on the same state, I get zero. So basically, if I manage to write my Hamiltonian terms of these creation operators, automatically, it will take care of the fact that I cannot have two particles, because whatever terms would add a particle twice in the same state would give me zero. Okay? Right, so now there's another type of operator, which I call just C alpha, without the dagger. And obviously, if it doesn't have the dagger, that's already telling you that it's the adjoint of the creation operator. Okay? But what it does is it actually removes a particle from the state alpha. So say if I use, I'm kind of going between these two notations because they are both useful and anyway they are equivalent. So if I have a particle in the alpha state, it gives me the state without that particle. Right? So basically, the fact that it's the adjoint of C alpha dagger already tells you how it acts on every state, okay? And I think in the interest of time, I will not now redo everything for the annihilation operators, but you can tell how you would define them, right? If I have a Slater determinant like this, and I add on it with the operator that annihilates one particle in state 3, then basically I'm going to just remove every time the 3 appears. And again, you will see that that's defined up to a sign convention, and you will notice that if you act with two annihilation operators in the opposite order, you get the same but with the changed sign, which means that annihilation operators also have the property that C alpha beta equals minus C beta C alpha. But these properties, they all can be proved by reference to the single quantized, first quantized notation in the way we've done it for the creation operators, okay? So it's the same thing. Please have a go, okay, at proving these things. But the important thing is that that's encapsulated, then all the properties of Slater determinants are then encapsulated in the way the operators act when you put them in different orders. So that's very useful. And finally, by the way, what happens if I annihilate twice the same particle? Oh, sorry, there's no such thing as the same particle. I remove a particle twice from the same state as a consequence of this anti-commutation relation. So I have a state with various single particle states being occupied, and I remove a particle from one of the states called alpha by applying an annihilation operator on that state, and then I do the same again. What do I get? Zero, right? Because again, C alpha, when you swap it, gives you the same, so if it has to give us a negative sign, it must be zero, right? So that defines implicitly how the annihilation operator acts on the vacuum. It gives you zero, okay? Because there's nothing to remove. And then finally,
just for your rubbing out, can I mention one thing here which I know confused me when I was learning it? You have to be very careful to distinguish between zero and the vacuum, which is written as the state with zero in. They're not the same. The vacuum state with zero in is the state with no particles, whereas zero is the number zero times any state. It doesn't matter what state it is because we multiply it by zero.
Very good point, Sam. Okay. Thank you. So,
very, very careful that these aren't the same thing. So removing the particle twice doesn't give you the vacuum. It gives you really zero. It's not even the vacuum anymore. It's just not there.
Right. So in other words, what Sam is saying is that when I apply an annihilation operator on any state, on a state that was already empty, I don't get this. What I get is this. Right, it is one thing to have an empty state, so a state that is there, sorry, an empty system, so a system that's there, your box with no particles, but if you get zero, you have nothing. You don't even have the box, okay? It's the end of that particular calculation, okay? Right, so the final one of these commutation relations is what happens with combinations of creation and annihilation operators, because typically you will have those. You know why? Because most Hamiltonians preserve the particle numbers. So when I write a Hamiltonian in terms of creation and annihilation operators, it will typically have as many creations as annihilations. Otherwise, I take a state with 5 particles, I apply the Hamiltonian, and I have a state with 6 particles. That would mean that when I solve the Schrödinger equation, the time-dependent Schrödinger equation for this system, the number of particles would be changing with time. And although there are systems that do that, most systems we would be concerned with don't. If you have a metal, there's the number of particles that's there. Okay? The notable exception being the popular Young Hamiltonian, but let's leave that for another day. So obviously it's very important to be able to combine creation and annihilation operators. And then, again, you could prove this by going to the selected terminals and keeping track of all the calculations. But basically, what this is telling me is that, first, if... Okay. So it's minus, I'm removing a particle from one state and putting a particle on a different state, then again, it's the same as doing it in the opposite order, but with a minus sign on the, adding a, multiplying the wave function by a, by minus one. Okay? So just like with the, just two creations or two annihilations. But, if alpha equals beta, then I get 1 minus C beta C alpha time, okay? Which is, of course, so in other words, being more compact, this is just delta alpha beta minus C beta C alpha time, where delta alpha beta is the Kronecker delta, so it's 1 if alpha equals beta, 0 other way, okay? Right, so basically, if I have a state where there's a particle at, and of course, notice that if there's no particle at beta, this is going to be zero anyway. And if there's already a particle at alpha, this will be zero. But if I have a state where there's a particle in a state beta, say for example, with a given value of the wave vector, or in a given site, and a particle in a state alpha, no particle in a state alpha, then I could apply this operator to that state, and then I would be removing the particle from state beta and adding a particle to state alpha. And that would be the same as actually making a linear superposition of the state as it was and the other one where I first created the particle at alpha and then removed it from beta. And that follows again from the properties of Slater determinants. Right. But, crucially, if I say that my state is going to be specified by enumeration of the single particle states that are occupied, so say alpha, beta, gamma, and so on, or equivalently by giving the occupation numbers . So you can see this notation is more cumbersome, but it's just more useful for certain things. So where that would be the occupation number of states, alpha, beta, and gamma, right? So in either case, once I say, well, I just, because I know that the state always has to be antisymmetric, I just define it by which single particle states are occupied. Okay? Once I do that, then I have my space, which is called Fock space, my Hilbert space, so the set of all available states. They are all either states like this or linear combinations of states like that. Okay? And then I can get from any state to any other state by just using creation and annihilation operators. Any state can be obtained by starting with a vacuum. So say if I want to create this state, I just can create all the create particles in all the single particle states that are occupied, and then that creates my state, alpha, beta, gamma. So any state can be created just using creation operators. And then any term in the Hamiltonian that changes the state can also be described in terms of creation and annihilation operators, because with those operators I can go from any state to any other state, therefore it has to be possible. Okay? And now we no longer need to refer to the first quantized notation. We never need to label a particle again. And now, now that I constructed my Fock space and my creation and annihilation operators, I need to finally get down to the business of indeed writing a Hamiltonian in terms of these creation and annihilation operators. And there are just a couple of simple rules that allow you to do that. Let me just...